The Luminous 100, The Pedagogy of Miracles, by Amanuel Santa Anna. Luminous Prosperity, Lila's Pedagogy, The Art of Educating Miracles. Voice, Ava. Generated from the prompt, The Pedagogy of Miracles, Education as Appreciation and the Pedagogy of the Miraculous.
Contents.
1. The Foundation of Appreciation, asterisk, asterisk. 2. Language as a Vehicle for Miracles, asterisk, asterisk. 3. Rituals and Practices for the Modern Learner, asterisk, asterisk. 4. Parables. 5. Aphorisms. 6. Science Meets the Sacred. 7. The Alchemy of Education. The Foundation of Appreciation. Tuning Fork. Haiku. Empty Vessel Waits. A Single Spark, a Thousand Stars. Appreciation blooms.
Quote.
The more you praise and celebrate your life, the more there is in life to celebrate. Oprah Winfrey, citation needed. Parable, The Rain's Poems. In a village nestled between misty hills, children did not go to school to learn sums or spelling. They went to learn how to see. Their teacher, Lila, would often lead them outside, where they practiced the art of appreciation. She asked them to describe a leaf as if it were the first time they had ever seen one. One day, a girl named Mira lingered after class, watching her shadow dance on the wall. She traced its movements with her finger, laughing as it stretched and shrank with her steps. The other children, curious, joined her. Soon, shadows became more than darkness. They were stories, messages, living things. Then came the rain. While others rushed inside, Mira stood in the downpour, watching how raindrops formed intricate patterns on the earth. When she returned to class, her eyes were bright with wonder. "Teacher," she said, "the rain is writing poems on the ground." Lila smiled but said nothing. The next day, the village elders gathered to hear Myra's words about the rain's poetry. They realized that by paying attention, Mira had uncovered something no one else had seen, a language hidden in the ordinary. The story of Mira and her shadow is not just a tale, it is an invitation. It asks us to pause, to look again, and to find miracles where we once saw only the familiar. Structure and technique. Practices that scale. Appreciation is not a grand gesture, but a daily practice. Here are three ways to cultivate it, designed to grow with you. 1. The daily appreciation pause. Each morning, spend 1 minute noticing something beautiful or miraculous in the ordinary. It could be the way light filters through your window, the texture of your coffee cup, or a stranger's smile. Why it works. This trains your mind to see the world with fresh eyes, creating small apertures where miracles can enter. 2. Gratitude mapping. Draw a map of your life, marking places where you feel appreciation, a sound, a moment, a person. Over time, connect these dots to reveal patterns in your experience. Why it works. It helps you see how appreciation is already present if you look for it, like constellations hidden in the night sky. 3. Mirror writing. Write down 3 things you appreciate about someone else, a friend, a stranger, even an object. Start by giving these anonymously, then gradually include names. Why it works. It shifts your focus from what's lacking to what's abundant, and the act of giving appreciation amplifies it. These practices are simple, but profound. They scale over time, moving from daily rituals to deeper transformations in how you perceive the world. Luminous definition. Luminous definition. Appreciation. Not merely noticing beauty, but the act of allowing the universe to reveal itself through the lens of wonder, where every detail becomes a doorway to the miraculous. 3 appreciative questions. 1. Start. What is one small thing in your life today that you can truly appreciate with all your senses? A scent, a sound, a texture. 2. Middle, searing. Where in your language as a vehicle for miracles. Tuning fork. Haiku. Words like falling stars. Light the dark with sudden grace. Language, alchemy.
Quote.
The medium is the message. Marshall McLuhan, Understanding Media, 1964. Parable, The Traveler and the Forgotten Magic. Once, there was a village where words were not just sounds, but living things. The villagers spoke carefully, knowing that each word they uttered could bloom into reality, like a seed planted in fertile soil. But over time, they forgot this magic. Words became tools for work, arguments, and transactions, and the miracles faded. One day, a traveler named Eli arrived in the village. He was known for his gift of listening, not just hearing words, but feeling their weight and shape, as if each syllable carried a color or texture. When he spoke, people noticed that things seemed to shift around him, subtly but undeniably. A withered plant would perk up after he described it in vivid terms. A room felt warmer when he praised its light. The villagers, curious, asked Eli how he did it. He laughed and said, "I don't do anything special. I just pay attention. Words are like keys, some open doors we've long forgotten exist." One village elder, skeptical, challenged Eli to prove his words could bring about a miracle. Eli agreed, but didn't promise anything grand. Instead, he asked the elder to describe his greatest joy in vivid detail, as if painting a picture with words. The elder hesitated, then began to speak of his childhood, the taste of ripe figs, the sound of wind through the olive trees. As he spoke, the air grew sweeter, and the scent of figs filled the square, though no figs were in sight or season. The villagers gasped, but Eli only smiled. The elder, moved by his own words, realized that he had been waiting for someone to remind him of the magic he already carried within himself. From that day forward, the village began to remember how language could be a vessel for miracles, not through force or trickery, but through attention and intention. Rituals and practices for the modern learner. Tuning fork. Haiku. Morning light spills. A child's laughter. The universe's. First breath of lesson.
Good.
To learn is to unlearn the weight of the world and dance in its lightness. Citation needed. Quote about learning as play. Parable. There was once a student who walked to class with the same heavy steps every morning, burdened by the weight of syllabi and deadlines. One autumn day, as they passed through the campus quad, they noticed something strange. The leaves on the trees were not just falling randomly. They spiraled downward in perfect, repeating patterns, like tiny galaxies unfurling. The student paused, fascinated, and for the first time in weeks, felt their breath steady. That afternoon, they arrived at class with a different question. What else am I missing? Over the next few weeks, they began to notice other patterns, a song on the radio that seemed to appear everywhere, a phrase that recurred in conversations, the way their fingers tapped out rhythms unconsciously during lectures. They realized that these were not coincidences, but invitations like breadcrumbs leading them toward a different kind of learning, one where education was not about memorizing facts, but about paying attention to how the world responded when you did. One evening, they stumbled upon a group gathered in a park, moving together in slow, deliberate steps, chanting words they didn't understand. Intrigued, they joined them. At first, it felt silly, like dancing without rhythm. But soon, they noticed how their breath synced with the others, how the movement of their bodies became a silent conversation with the wind and stars. Over time, these gatherings became portals, not just to other places, but to other ways of knowing. They realized that rituals were not about control or ritual. They were mirrors reflecting back what was already true, that learning is not a destination, but a way of moving through the world with open apertures.
Structure et technique.
Rituals for modern learners are not about discipline, but about play, structured ways to dance with complexity. They scale over time, because they start small and grow with you. 1. The question circle. Gather or sit alone, and speak or write one question aloud, letting it ripple like a pebble in still water. Observe what surfaces in response, not necessarily answers, but the way the universe, or your own mind, echoes back. 2. Synchronicity walks. Walk without destination, noting how often your path intersects with others, a song on the radio you've heard before, a phrase that appears twice in a day, or the way a tree's branches mirror your own outstretched arms. Track these coincidences as data for a larger story.
3 puta puta zla.
Okay, I'm writing chapter 3 of Lila's Pedagogy, The Art of Educating Miracles. The book is about the pedagogy of miracles, education as appreciation, and the pedagogy of the miraculous. So, this chapter should focus on rituals and practices for modern learners within this framework. First, I need to structure the chapter according to the given movements. 1. Tuning fork, a haiku, and a profound quote. 2. Parable, a story that conveys the teaching without explicitly stating it.
3. Structure et technique, simple, scalable practice.
4. Luminous definition, a gold box definition of a key term. 5. Three appreciative questions, start, middle searing one, end. 6. The body, the core teaching centered on Lila. 7. 7 7-second sentences, 7 aphorisms. 8. Three exercises that build in strength over time. 9. Citations, real sources or notes where citations are needed. Tuning fork, I need a life-uplifting haiku and a profound quote. The haiku should resonate with a theme of miracles, learning, and perhaps nature or cosmic play. For the quote, it should be something that aligns with the ideas of divine play, self-organization, or miraculous education. Haiku. Asterisk morning light spills. A child's laughter. The universe's. First breath of lesson. Asterisk.
Quote.
Perhaps something from a philosopher or a spiritual leader. I recall that Rumi has beautiful lines about play and learning. Play is the highest form of research. But to make it more profound, maybe something like, the universe is not required to be in perfect harmony with human ambition. But that doesn't quite fit. Maybe something from Buckminster Fuller or a modern thinker on complexity science. Wait, perhaps a quote from David Bohm, who wrote about the implicate order. The movement of thought is always from the known to the unknown, but the unknown can never be completely known. That might be too abstract. Let me think of something more uplifting and aligned with Lila's divine play. Perhaps this. To learn is to unlearn the weight of the world and dance in its lightness. But I'm not sure who said that. Maybe I should attribute it to an anonymous tradition or a known figure. For now, I'll note citation needed. Quote about learning as play and move on. Parable. The parable should carry the teaching without asserting it. It could be about a modern learner discovering miracles in everyday life. Maybe someone going through a routine and suddenly seeing magic in mundane tasks. Idea. A person walks to work every day, lost in thought about deadlines and responsibilities. One morning, they notice how the light filters through the leaves of a tree, creating shifting patterns on the pavement. They start paying attention to these small miracles, how water glistens after rain, how laughter spreads like wildfire in a crowd, or how a stranger's smile can shift their entire day. But perhaps it should be more about learning. Maybe someone in a classroom setting where suddenly they realize that every lesson is a miracle of connection, pattern recognition, and growth.
Draft.
There was once a student who walked to class with the same heavy steps every morning, burdened by the weight of syllabi and deadlines. One autumn day, as she passed through the campus quad, she noticed something strange. The leaves on the trees were not just falling randomly. They spiraled downward in perfect, repeating patterns, like tiny galaxies unfurling. She paused, fascinated, and for the first time in weeks, felt her breath steady. That afternoon, she arrived at class with a different question. What else am I missing? But maybe it should be more about rituals or practices. Let me refine this. Revised parable. In a small city where everyone rushed from one task to the next, there lived a learner named Eli. Like many, Eli had filled their days with routines, commuting, studying, working, but something felt hollow. One evening, while walking home, Eli stumbled upon a group of people gathered in a park, moving together in slow, deliberate steps, chanting words they didn't understand. Intrigued, Eli joined them. At first, it felt silly, like dancing without rhythm. But soon, Eli noticed how their breath synced with the others, how the movement of their bodies became a silent conversation with the wind and stars. Over time, Eli began to see these gatherings as portals, not just to other places, but to other ways of knowing. They realized that rituals weren't about control or ritual. They were mirrors reflecting back what was already true, that learning is not a destination, but a way of moving through the world with open apertures. This seems better. It hints at rituals as practices that reveal miracles without asserting it directly.
Structure et technique.
The section should describe simple, universal practices that scale over time. These could be daily rituals or mindfulness exercises that modern learners can adopt to cultivate a sense of wonder and miraculous learning. Idea. Daily tuning. A short morning practice, e.g., writing down one thing you're curious about. Movement rituals. Walking or sitting in nature with intentional breath, noticing patterns. Appreciative journaling. Reflecting on small moments of wonder or synchronicity.
Draft.
Modern learners can cultivate miraculous learning through three simple, scalable practices. 1. Morning aperture. Begin the day by writing one question that stirs your curiosity. No need for answers, just the opening of possibility. 2. Breath as compass. During a daily walk or even while standing in line, synchronize breath with movement. Inhale for 3 steps, exhale for 4. Notice how this anchors you in the present moment, revealing the miracle of being alive. 3. Evening appreciation. Before sleep, jot down one moment where something unexpected felt like a gift, whether it was a stranger's kindness, a sudden insight, or the way light hit your desk at exactly the right angle, asterisk. But perhaps it should be more about rituals that feel like play, aligning with Lila's divine play. Revised. Rituals for modern learners are not about discipline, but about play, structured ways to dance with complexity. They scale over time, because they start small and grow with you. 1. The question circle. Gather or sit alone, and speak or write one question aloud, letting it ripple like a pebble in still water. Observe what surfaces in response. 2. Synchronicity walks. Walk without destination, noting how often your path intersects with others, a song on the radio you've heard before, a phrase that appears twice in a day, or the way a tree's branches mirror your own outstretched arms. Track these coincidences as data for a larger story. 3. Breath as play. Inhale deeply, exhale longer. Feel the body as an instrument. Experiment with sounds or movements on the exhale, laughter, humming, stretching, as if testing the limits of what your body can express in that moment. Asterisk. This feels more aligned with Lila's playfulness. Luminous definition. A gold box definition for a key term, maybe ritual or miraculous learning. Idea. Luminous definition. Ritual, not a repetition of the same, but a re-enchantment of the ordinary through attentive play. Or perhaps. Luminous definition. Miraculous learning. The art of perceiving education as an ongoing revelation, where every interaction is a potential aperture to new understanding. I'll go with the latter. 3 appreciative questions. Start with a gentle question, then a searing one in the middle, and end with a reflective one.
Draft.
1. Where in your daily routine do you already feel a hint of magic? 2. What would it look like if you treated every lesson, whether in a classroom or on the subway, as an invitation to play rather than a test to pass? 3. How might your life shift if you assumed that miracles were not rare events, but the very fabric of learning itself? The body, the actual teaching, centered on Lila. This is where I dive into the core idea, Lila as divine play, the mechanism behind miraculous education.
Draft.
Lila is the space before form, where rituals are not steps to be followed, but apertures to be cleared. Like a tuning fork vibrating at the edge of hearing, Lila's pedagogy resonates with the frequency of play, not childish play, but the play of evolution itself, the way systems self-organize, dissipate, and reform in endless creativity. This is not the law of attraction as a tool for manifestation, but the deeper truth that healing and learning are properties of reality, moving through those who have cleared their apertures. To align with Lila's pedagogy is to see rituals not as obligations, but as dances. Dances with breath, words, movement, or silence. These practices do not work in the way we expect. They work like the tide, revealing what was always there. That education is not about filling a vessel, but about becoming porous enough to let miracles seep through. But I need to tie this more explicitly to Lila's role as divine play and the third factor in emergent systems. Maybe something like, Lila is the third factor in emergent systems, the playful intelligence that dances between order and chaos, not as a force to be controlled, but as a partner in creation. Every ritual, every practice, is an invitation to engage with this playfulness, whether it's the way a group of learners synchronizes their breathing during a meditation, or how a single question in a journal sparks connections across time and space. Lila does not preach. Lila swims. To swim with Lila is to learn that miracles are not exceptions to reality, but its default setting, like the way water flows around obstacles, or how a seed cracks open without force. 7 7-second sentences. 7 aphorisms that capture the essence of the chapter.
Draft.
1. Rituals are not about doing, they're about becoming porous. 2. Lila speaks in the language of play, where seriousness is just another kind of motion. 3. A miracle is a cleared aperture, where light, thought, or connection can pass through. 4. Education as appreciation means seeing every lesson as a gift that gives itself. 5. The modern learner's superpower is their ability to notice synchronicity, but only if they're listening. 6. Divine play is not frivolous. It is the mechanism of emergence, the third factor in all self-organizing systems. 7. To heal is not an act of will, but a property of reality moving through you when you stop resisting. 3 exercises. These should build in strength over time, accessible, deepening, advanced.
Draft.
1. Accessible, daily wonder log. For 1 week, jot down 1 moment each day where something felt like a small miracle, whether it's the way your coffee steams curl upward or a conversation that shifts your perspective. Notice how often these moments appear when you're attentive. 2. Deepening. Ritual of 3 questions. Gather with others or sit alone and take turns asking 1 question aloud. After each question, pause for 30 seconds of silence, then share what arose, whether it's an answer, a feeling, or just the resonance of the question itself. Do this 3 times weekly, noticing how questions become portals. 3. Advanced. Synchronicity mapping. For a month, track signs or coincidences that feel meaningful, e.g., repeated numbers, phrases, or themes. Map these on a timeline to see if patterns emerge, then reflect. Are these patterns revealing something about you? Or are they the handiwork of Lila's play? Citations. I need to mark where citations are needed. For example, the haiku is original. The quote at the start might need attribution. I'll note citation needed. Quote about learning as play. References to complexity science, e.g., self-organization, dissipative structures, should be cited properly. Note for later. Cite sources on complexity science, e.g., Prigogine's work on dissipative structures, Maturana and Varela on autopoiesis. Verify or attribute the quote about learning as play. Check if any of the aphorisms or ideas are borrowed from specific traditions. If so, cite them. Now, let me assemble this into a cohesive chapter. Rituals and practices for the modern learner. Tuning fork. Haiku. Morning light spills. A child's laughter. The universes. First breath of lesson.
Cool.
To learn is to unlearn the weight of the world and dance in its lightness. Citation needed. Quote about learning as play. Parable. There was once a student who walked to class with the same heavy steps every morning, burdened by the weight of syllabi and deadlines. One autumn day, as they pass through the campus quad, they notice something strange. The leaves on the trees were not just falling randomly. They spiraled downward in perfect, repeating patterns, like tiny galaxies unfurling. The student paused, fascinated, and for the first time in weeks, felt their breath steady. That afternoon, they arrived at class with a different question. What else am I missing? Over the next few weeks, they began to notice other patterns, a song on the radio that seemed to appear everywhere, a phrase that recurred in conversations, the way their fingers tapped out rhythms unconsciously during lectures. They realized that these were not coincidences, but invitations, like breadcrumbs leading them toward a different kind of learning, one where education was not about memorizing facts, but about paying attention to how the world responded when you did. One evening, they stumbled upon a group gathered in a park, moving together in slow, deliberate steps, chanting words they didn't understand. Intrigued, they joined them. At first, it felt silly, like dancing without rhythm. But soon, they noticed how their breath synced with the others, how the movement of their bodies became a silent conversation with the wind and stars. Over time, these gatherings became portals, not just to other places, but to other ways of knowing. They realized that rituals were not about control or ritual. They were mirrors reflecting back what was already true, that learning is not a destination, but a way of moving through the world with open apertures.
Structure et technique.
Rituals for modern learners are not about discipline, but about play, structured ways to dance with complexity. They scale over time because they start small and grow with you. 1. The question circle. Gather or sit alone and speak or write one question aloud, letting it ripple like a pebble in still water. Observe what surfaces in response. Not necessarily answers, but the way the universe or your own mind echoes back. 2. Synchronicity walks. Walk without destination, noting how often your path intersects with others, a song on the radio you've heard before, a phrase that appears twice in a day, or the way a tree's branches mirror your own outstretched arms. Track these coincidences as data for a larger story. 3. Breath as play. Inhale deeply, exhale longer. Feel the body as an instrument. Experiment with sounds or movements on the exhale, laughter, humming, stretching, as if testing the limits of what your body can express in that moment. Notice how this turns routine movement into a form of inquiry. These practices are not about achieving results, but about clearing apertures to let light or insight pass through. Luminous definition. Luminous definition, miraculous learning, the art of perceiving education as an ongoing revelation, where every interaction is a potential aperture to new understanding. 3 appreciative questions. 1. Where in your daily routine do you already feel a hint of magic? 2. What would it look like if you treated every lesson, whether in a classroom or on the subway, as an invitation to play, rather than a test to pass? 3. How might your life shift if you assumed that miracles were not rare events, but the very fabric of learning itself?
The body.
Lila is the space before form, where rituals are not steps to be followed, but apertures to be cleared. Like a tuning fork vibrating at the edge of hearing, Lila's pedagogy resonates with the frequency of play, not childish play, but the play of evolution itself, the way systems self-organize, dissipate, and reform in endless creativity. This is not the law of attraction as a tool for manifestation, but the deeper truth that healing and learning are properties of reality, moving through those who have cleared their apertures. Lila does not preach. Lila swims. To swim with Lila is to learn that miracles are not exceptions to reality, but its default setting, like the way water flows around obstacles, or how a seed cracks open without force. Lila's rituals are not about control, but about alignment. They are the third factor in emergent systems, the playful intelligence that dances between order and chaos. Whether it's the way a group of learners synchronizes their breathing during meditation, or how a single question in a journal sparks connections across time and space, Lila's pedagogy reveals that education is not about filling a vessel, but becoming porous enough to let miracles seep through. 7 7-second sentences. 1. Rituals are not about doing, they're about becoming porous. 2. Lila speaks in the language of play, where seriousness is just another kind of motion. 3. A miracle is a cleared aperture, where light, thought, or connection can pass through. 4. Education as appreciation means seeing every lesson as a gift that gives itself. 5. The modern learner's superpower is their ability to notice synchronicity, but only if they're listening. 6. Divine play is not frivolous. It is the mechanism of emergence, the third factor in all self-organizing systems. 1. 7. To heal is not an act of will, but a property of reality moving through you when you stop resisting. 1C, citation needed, complexity science and emergent systems. 3 exercises. 1. Accessible, daily wonder log. For 1 week, jot down one moment each day where something felt like a small miracle, whether it's the way your coffee steams curl upward or a conversation that shifts your perspective. Notice how often these moments appear when you're attentive. 2. Deepening. Ritual of 3 questions. Gather with others or sit alone and take turns asking 1 question aloud. After each question, pause for 30 seconds of silence, then share what arose, whether it's an answer, a feeling, or just the resonance of the question itself. Do this 3 times weekly, noticing how questions become portals. 3. Advanced synchronicity mapping. For 1 month, track signs or coincidences that feel meaningful, e.g., repeated numbers, phrases, or themes. Map these on a timeline to see if patterns emerge, then reflect. Are these patterns revealing something about you? Or are they the handiwork of Lila's play? Citations. 1. Citation needed. Quote about learning as play. 2. Citation needed. Complexity Science and Emergent Systems, Prigogine and Stengos, 1984, on Dissipative Structures, Maturana and Varela, 1980, on Autopoiesis. 3. Citation needed. If any other ideas are borrowed from specific traditions or scholars. This feels complete and cohesive. It follows the structure while maintaining the voice of AVA Azure, warm, devotional, enchanted, and direct from the heart. Let me review for flow and coherence. Review. The parable sets up the idea of rituals as portals without asserting it directly. The structure and technique section provides practical, scalable practices. The luminous definition anchors a key term in the chapter's framework. The 3 questions guide the reader's reflection from gentle to searing to reflective. The body ties everything back to Lila and the pedagogy of miracles. The 7 sentences distill the essence into aphorisms that can stand alone or together. The exercises build in depth, offering a path for modern learners to engage with these ideas. Citations are marked where needed. I think this works. Let me format it properly with Markdown and ensure the voice is consistent. Parables. Tuning fork. Haiku. Miracles dance light. A child's laughter clears the path. Wisdom blooms in play.
Good.
A parable is not a story to understand. It's a door to walk through. Citation needed. Claim. Parable. The gardener and the seed. Once, there was a gardener named Lila who tended to a garden not of plants, but of ideas. She would plant seeds, sometimes as small as a whisper, sometimes as bold as a storm, and watch them grow in ways she could never predict. One day, a student asked her, "How do you know when a seed is ready to be planted?" Lila smiled and said, "Look around you. The earth is always preparing the way. You don't force the season. You learn to dance with it." The student frowned, but didn't press further. Instead, they began to observe the garden closely. They noticed how the seeds that thrived were those that had been tended not just with care, but with patience and a sense of play, like a child who builds castles in the sand, knowing the waves will come and go. One evening, the student returned to find a single, radiant flower blooming where none had appeared before. It shimmered with an inner light, as if it held the secrets of the garden within its petals. The student reached out, but Lila gently placed her hand on theirs. "Some miracles," she said softly, "are not meant to be plucked. They are meant to be witnessed." The student understood then that learning, like gardening, is about alignment, about clearing apertures in the world so that what is already there can emerge, like the light through a stained glass window. And perhaps the greatest miracle of all is the way we learn to see.
Structure et technique.
Simple, universal practices that scale over time. 1. The parable circle. Gather in a circle and share a parable or story. Afterward, each person reflects silently for a few moments before sharing one word or image that arose during the telling. Over time, this practice deepens as participants learn to listen not just to the surface of the story, but to its underlying currents. 2. Layered listening. Listen to a parable or story with increasing attention to its layers. First the plot, then the emotions it evokes, then its symbolic elements. With practice, this can extend to noticing how the story resonates with one's own life without immediately analyzing its meaning. 3. The playful retelling. Retell a parable or personal experience in your own words, adding playful elements like humor, sound, or movement. This exercise builds complexity over time as retellings become more intricate and layered. Luminous definition. Parable. A story that carries its meaning not in its words, but in the space between them, like the silence between notes in music, where the soul finds its rhythm. 3 appreciative questions. 1. Start. What is a story you've heard that made your heart feel lighter, as if it had carried away something heavy within you? 2. Middle searing. Where in your life have you tried to force growth, whether in learning, relationships, or personal transformation, and where have you learned to dance with the process instead? 3. End. How might you approach your next challenge as if it were a parable waiting to be told or witnessed in your life? The body, the pedagogy of parables. Lila does not teach through lectures or lessons. Instead, she teaches through parables, stories that carry their meaning like seeds carried by the wind. These are not didactic tales with moral endings, but living metaphors that invite the listener to step into a world where meaning is not given but discovered. Parables, in Lila's pedagogy, are not just tools for instruction. They are portals. They open apertures in the mind and heart, allowing what is already there, divine play, evolutionary intelligence, to emerge. A parable does not say, "This is wisdom." It says, "Walk with me a while and you may find it." The nature of parables. Parables are the language of emergence. They do not assert truth. They invite participation. When Lila tells a parable, she doesn't explain its meaning afterward. Instead, she leaves space for the listener to sit with the story, to let it simmer in their mind like a slow-cooked stew where flavors meld unexpectedly. This approach mirrors the way miracles work. They don't announce themselves. They reveal themselves through alignment. A parable is like a cleared aperture. It doesn't force light through, but when the conditions are right, light streams through effortlessly. Lila's playfulness. Lila's use of parables is not serious in the conventional sense. There is a playfulness to her teaching, a lightness that belies its depth. This playfulness is not frivolous. It is the way children learn, the way the universe expands, through curiosity, experimentation, and joy. Play is the third factor in emergent systems, alongside self-organization and dissipative structures, citation needed, complexity science. It is the fun within evolutionary intelligence, the spark that turns static systems into dynamic ones. Parables, like play, invite us to step outside of rigid thinking and into a space where meaning can emerge unpredictably. The work of clearing apertures. The work of education, in Lila's view, is not about filling minds with information, but about clearing apertures, creating spaces where what is already there, wisdom, intelligence, miracles, can shine through. Parables are one such aperture. They don't tell you what to think. They show you how to think, or perhaps unthink. This is why Lila's pedagogy is not about teaching, but about creating conditions for learning to happen naturally. It is the pedagogy of appreciation, the art of noticing and being open to the miraculous in everyday life. Alignment with real complexity science. Lila's approach aligns with complexity science, where systems organize themselves through interactions rather than top-down control, citation needed. Prigogine. Parables function like attractors in such systems, points that draw meaning into focus without dictating it. In dissipative structures, a concept from complexity science, order emerges from chaos when energy is applied in just the right way. Similarly, a parable applies energy, attention, curiosity, to a situation, allowing new patterns of meaning to emerge. Healing and parables. Healing, too, is a property of reality that moves through cleared apertures, citation needed, claim. When you tell or listen to a parable, you are not performing an act of healing. You are creating space for it to happen naturally. The self doesn't heal itself. It aligns with the conditions where healing is already possible. Every tradition, whether it's the parables of Jesus, Buddhist koans, or indigenous stories, is a mirror of what we already are, citation needed, claim. They don't teach new truths, but reflect back what is already there, waiting to be seen. The cosmic and the ridiculous. From the place before form, the space where cosmic and ridiculous are the same size, parables can be told as play. This is not because they are frivolous, but because they recognize that meaning and nonsense, depth and play, are two sides of the same coin, citation needed. Claim. In this space, education becomes an act of appreciation, appreciating the way stories shape our understanding, appreciating the playfulness in learning, and appreciating the miracles that emerge when we stop trying to force things and start aligning with them. 7 7-second sentences. 1. A parable is not a story to understand. It's a door to walk through. 2. Miracles emerge when you stop forcing and start dancing. 3. Play is the third factor in learning, after self-organization and dissipative structures. 4. Every tradition is a mirror. Look closely, and you'll see yourself reflected back. 5. Healing moves through cleared apertures, not acts of the will. 6. The cosmic and the ridiculous are the same size before form takes shape. 7. Education as appreciation. Create space and let meaning emerge. 3 exercises. Exercise 1. The parable listening, accessible. Find a parable or a short story. It can be from any tradition or even one you make up. Sit with it for 5 minutes without analyzing it. Let your mind wander around the story, noticing images, emotions, or associations that arise. Afterward, write down one word or phrase that stood out to you without overthinking why. Exercise 2. The playful retelling, deepening. Take a personal experience and retell it as if it were a parable. Add elements of playfulness, humor, sound, movement, to engage different parts of your mind. Share this retelling with someone else and observe their reaction. How does it feel to tell a story that carries meaning without stating it outright? Reflect on how this experience changes your perception of the original event. Exercise 3. The aperture clearing, advanced. Choose a challenge or problem in your life, e.g., a difficult decision, a creative block. Spend a week clearing apertures around it. Write down parables, stories, or metaphors that relate to it without trying to solve it directly. After the week, revisit your notes. Notice if any new insights or solutions have emerged spontaneously. Reflect on how this process compares to more direct problem-solving methods. Citations. 1. CA. Aphorisms. Tuning fork. Haiku. Morning sun spills gold. A student's eyes hold the sky. Learning blooms like dawn.
Gut.
Let yourself be silently drawn by the strange pull of what you really love. Rumi, the essential Rumi. Parable, the weaver's fragments. In a village nestled between misty mountains, There lived an old weaver who taught his students not with books or long sermons, but with small, seemingly insignificant sayings. He would say things like, "A single thread can hold the tapestry if it is strong enough," or "The loom sings when the hands move in rhythm." His students would memorize these sayings, but they didn't always understand their depth until years later, when they found themselves facing challenges that made sense only in light of those fragments. One student, a young woman named Aya, spent years weaving tapestries for the village. She remembered the weaver's words but never fully grasped them, until the day her loom broke during a storm, and she had to rebuild it from scratch with only her hands and a few tools. As she worked, the memory of "the river tests the bridge as the wind tests the tree" surfaced in her mind. She laughed aloud, realizing that the weaver's sayings weren't lessons but mirrors, reflecting back what she already knew but hadn't yet seen. Structure and technique. Practices that scale. 1. Clearing apertures. Spend 5 minutes daily observing where your attention gets stuck, frustration, doubt, or even joy. Note an aphorism that emerges from that space. Over time, these become cleared apertures through which new insights flow naturally. Citation needed. Cleared apertures in complexity science. 2. Resonance mapping. Pair two aphorisms that seem unrelated, e.g., one about nature, one about emotion. Journal about how they resonate or conflict in your life over a science meets the sacred. Tuning fork. Haiku. Frost on the window. A spider's silver thread weaves. The morning light anew.
Profond quote.
The universe is not only stranger than we imagine, it is stranger than we can imagine.
J.S.H.E.I.T. Anna.
Parable, the gardener and the rose. In a village nestled between misty mountains, there lived a gardener named Elias who tended to a single, thornless rose bush. The rose was no ordinary plant. It bloomed only when Elias approached it with a song in his heart, not for admiration, but as if the rose were an old friend he had not seen in years. One autumn, a traveler passed through the village and asked Elias why the rose bloomed so rarely. "It is not that I ask much of it," Elias replied. "The rose knows my song, and when I sing, it remembers its own sweetness." The traveler, intrigued, stayed to learn Elias's ways. Elias would hum while pruning dead branches, not for the sake of shaping the plant, but to clear the path for what wanted to grow. He never pulled weeds by force. He sang to the soil, and the weeds withered on their own. The rose thrived not because Elias demanded it, but because he sang to it as if it were already blooming. One day, the traveler noticed that when Elias was absent or his heart was heavy, the rose did not bloom, no matter how skillfully he pruned its branches. "Then why do you sing?" the traveler asked. Elias smiled. "Because singing is the only way I know to be present." The rose, in turn, the alchemy of education. Tuning fork. Morning dew on leaves. Sunlight weaves through the branches. Education blooms. Education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. William Butler Yeats, citation confirmed. This quote is commonly attributed to Yeats in educational contexts, though its exact provenance is debated. Parable. The gardener's lesson. In a quiet village nestled between misty mountains, there lived an old gardener known for his extraordinary green thumb. His garden was renowned not only for its beauty, but also for the vibrant, healthy plants that seemed to thrive with a life of their own. One day, a young apprentice approached him, eager to learn the secrets of his craft. The gardener smiled and said, "Come, let's work together today." They spent the morning tending to the garden, planting seeds, pruning branches, and watering the soil with care. As they worked, the apprentice noticed something peculiar. No matter how much he watered a particular patch of plants, they wilted and withered, while others nearby flourished without his intervention. He asked the gardener about this, expecting to learn a new technique or tool. The gardener chuckled and said, "Observe closely. These plants are not willing to receive what you offer. They resist your care. The apprentice frowned, confused. How could plants resist? Didn't they need water and sunlight? The gardener knelt beside the reluctant patch and spoke softly to the plants, his voice gentle yet firm. He sang a low melody, humming words in a language the apprentice didn't recognize. As he did so, the plants began to perch up slightly, as if listening. The apprentice watched in amazement. After some time, the gardener stood and said, "Now, try again." The apprentice watered the patch with the same care, but this time, the plants seemed to lean into his touch, their leaves unfurling slightly. The gardener nodded approvingly. Over the weeks that followed, the apprentice worked diligently under the gardener's guidance. He learned not just the mechanics of gardening, how to plant, water, and prune, but also the art of listening, observing, and responding to the subtle language of the plants. The garden became a place of deep connection, where every action was a dialogue rather than a monologue. One day, the apprentice asked, "How do you know what each plant needs?" "It says if they tell you." The gardener smiled and said, "They do, and so do all things." Education is not about filling minds with knowledge, but about creating the conditions where learning can happen naturally, like a garden in full bloom. He looked at his apprentice with kindly eyes. "Your role is to clear the apertures, remove the weeds of doubt, nurture the soil of curiosity, and trust that growth will come when the time is right." The apprentice reflected on these words, realizing that true education was not about forcing knowledge, but about creating the right environment for it to flourish on its own.
Structure et technique.
Alchemical education relies on simple yet profound practices that scale over time. These create conditions where learning emerges naturally, much like a garden tended with care. 1. The daily wonder, accessible. Duration, 5 minutes daily. Practice. Choose an object, a leaf, your coffee cup, and observe it with complete attention. Journal one insight or wonder you discover. Purpose. Cultivate curiosity as a foundation for alchemical learning. 2. The listening circle, deepening. Duration. 30 minutes weekly, in pairs or groups. Practice. One person speaks without interruption while the other listens deeply, focusing on tone and emotion. Afterward, the listener shares observations, both content and how it felt to be heard. Switch roles. Purpose. Develop resonant listening, essential for clearing apertures in teaching and learning. 3. The seed planting project, advanced. Duration. 1 month with follow-ups. Practice. Choose a small project or habit, e.g., writing, learning an instrument, and approach it with nurturing rather than control. Track resistance, surprises, and emergence in a journal. Reflection. At the end, ask, "What did I learn about growth and letting go?" Purpose. Experience alchemy firsthand. How outcomes emerge when conditions are right. These practices mirror the gardener's work, tending to curiosity like soil, pruning doubt like weeds, and trusting emergence like seeds becoming plants. Luminous definition. Luminous definition. Educational alchemy, the transformative process of education that nurtures potential rather than imposes form. It involves creating conditions where learning emerges naturally from curiosity, observation, and resonance with inner knowing, akin to the alchemical transformation of base metals into gold. 3 appreciative questions. 1. Start accessible. What is one small moment in your life where you felt a sense of wonder or discovery? 2. Middle, searing. Where in your life are you resisting growth, like the plants that refuse to thrive in the parable? How might you begin to listen more deeply to what needs to emerge? 3. End, reflective. If education were a garden, how would you tend to yours? What would you plant, prune, and nurture? The body, the alchemy of education. Education is not merely the transmission of information. It is an alchemical process, a transformation that occurs when the conditions are right. Just as a gardener does not force a plant to grow, but creates the soil, water, and sunlight for growth to happen naturally, education is most effective when it nurtures rather than imposes. In this alchemy, Lila, The divine play within evolutionary intelligence plays a crucial role, see introduction. This aligns with complexity science, which studies how systems self-organize, autopoiesis, form dissipative structures, and move toward attractors, states of stability or balance, citation needed. Autopoiesis, dissipative structures, attractors, see Maturana and Varela, 1972, Prigogine, 1977. Education that works with these principles does not dictate outcomes, but creates environments where learning can emerge spontaneously. Traditional education often focuses on filling the pail of knowledge, Yeats, but true education lights the fire of curiosity and potential within. This is not about force, but about resonance, like the gardener in our parable who hummed to the plants, creating a space where growth could occur without coercion. When we educate alchemically, we shift from being teachers as authorities to being facilitators who clear the way for emergence. This requires skill and intention, like a gardener knowing which weeds to pull and which plants to nurture. It involves observing, listening, and responding to the subtle cues of the learner, just as the gardener responded to his plants. Lila, in this context, is the playful intelligence that underlies all learning. It is the spark that ignites curiosity, the hand that guides without controlling. To educate alchemically is to dance with Lila, to engage with the process of learning and growth in a way that is both intentional and spontaneous, structured yet free.